Hello and welcome to a special episode of A Higher Branch where I take your questions. Now, if you are new to this podcast, welcome. We're getting hundreds of new listeners every week. And I don't want you to miss any future episodes, especially the ones coming up to Christmas and the new year. So hit the subscribe button or follow. And most importantly, hit the notifications bell so the episode drops into your device magically first thing in the morning. So I'm going to kick it off. We have a few questions from the last few episodes. And the first question comes from Lucy, who says, Sam, I recently listened to your episode on the four signs you need to do a life reset. One of the negative states you mentioned is when you feel lost because you are doing the wrong things. And you mentioned that doing the wrong things drains more energy. My question is, sometimes we need to do boring things or mundane things. Like, how do we distinguish those from the wrong things? We can't always do things that light us up and give us more energy, or can we? It's a very good question, because in that episode called The Four Signs You Need to Do a Life Reset, I said that when you're feeling lost, it means that you are doing the wrong things. Things that don't light you up. You're doing the wrong things, usually to please others or for acceptance. And that's no way to live a life, right? So the question here is about, well, sometimes we don't always do things that light us up. We can't always do the things that excite us. We need to do mundane things, right? Like cooking, cleaning, you know, washing the car, vacuuming. Incidentally, I'm one of those people that loves to clean. Clean, it's a bit like meditation for me. But here's the answer to this question. You need to distinguish between tough things and the wrong things. Now, tough things can be the right things, right? Now, if you have goals in the eight areas of life, say when it comes to your health, when it comes to your love life, your family, your work, right? You have goals in those eight areas of life, and you should have goals. That's what gives you focus. That's what gives you a compelling vision for your future. And it's those goals and those dreams that you have in the eight areas of life lift your energy levels. However, sometimes we need to do the tough things to achieve those goals. And those tough things are not always the things that light us up, right? So it's a very good question, because I know people get excited about the dream, but then they get a little bit down on themselves because they don't want to do the tough stuff to get to that dream. Your dream, for example, maybe to become a doctor, finish a university degree in marketing, whatever it is, that's the dream. The tough stuff is completing the assignments, is passing the exams, right? It's turning up to lectures. The same thing when you have the goal when it comes to your body, your health, your dream may be to have high energy and an incredible looking body, right? That's your dream. The tough stuff is what? It's waking up, putting on your sneakers, going to the gym, doing the tough stuff, doing the push-ups, doing your Pilates, doing your yoga, doing your breathing. Now, they're not always the things that are going to light us up. I can tell you, sometimes in the gym on those mornings, I find it extremely tough to do the things that I know I need to do to achieve my dream, but I have to do them. And in my book, A Higher Branch, it reminds me of chapter 13, where I talk about the wisdom of the turtle. And in it, I talk about how when it comes to courage, we need to take action with courage, right? We need to do the tough things. What gets you to do the tough things is courage. How do you bring courage to the surface? It's your goals and dreams. That's what brings courage to the surface. And then it's willpower that keeps it at the surface. So the turtle teaches us that the ultimate courage, most people think of, you know, lions and eagles when they think of inspiring animals. I think of the turtle because the turtle shows a lot of courage, because the turtle moves slow on land to get to its element. Its element is the sea. Once it gets to sea, it actually goes through the water extremely fast. But when it's on land, it's prey to a lot of predators because it moves so slowly. The only way it can actually move forward is to stick its neck out of its hard shell to move towards the sea. To do that, it exposes itself to prey. So it's easy for the turtle to stick its neck in and hide in that shell and stay in that shell because its shell is impenetrable. And that's really a metaphor for what we need to be doing in our life. We need to stick our neck out and show courage by doing the tough things. The tough things can be mundane things, but as long as the tough things are aligned with your goals and dreams, that makes them the right things. And ultimately, it will give you more energy than what it takes from you. Maybe not in the moment when you're doing the tough things, but certainly at the end of the day, you're going to feel satisfied that you have taken steps towards your goals and dreams. And that satisfaction gives you peace of mind, and you have a good night's sleep, and you wake up the next day feeling good about yourself. So Lucy, I hope that's answered your question. So I'm going to move on to the next question from Robert, who says, what do I do if my partner mocks me for self-development? I get this question all the time, and my answer is this. Have you ever been to a party and you have someone that's just started a diet or a new exercise routine? Like diet, it could be veganism or paleo, whatever it is. And they sit there telling everyone about it, how it's the greatest thing in the world, right? The point is, veganism is not for everyone. Being paleo is not for everyone. Well, also self-development is not for everyone. Some people actually feel like they don't need self-development. And a lot of people actually don't need self-development. Some people have an innate intelligence about their life and how to get the best out of their energy levels. Some people are innately wise and don't need self-development. So, you know, you need to, with the utmost of respect, I know a lot of people who are on the path of self-development get extremely enthusiastic, and you can overwhelm people with enthusiasm by talking about it. My message to you is don't talk about it, do about it. If you want to inspire the people in your life, do so through your actions, not through your words. Don't tell everyone what you're doing, sometimes not even your partner or your family. You know, in the past, I know a lot of motivational gurus will say you need to put a public pledge out there and tell everyone what you're doing, and that holds you accountable. I think you need to look for intrinsic motivation. You need to be on your own path when it comes to self-development. It's your own journey. We are all different. And once you start overwhelming your partner or the people in your life with your, you know, zealous pursuit of self-development, it's going to turn them off, and you just don't want that. As I said, do so by your action. So Robert, I hope that's given you the answer. And it's something, look, that my wife reminds me of regularly, and that is the best way to inspire others is through your own actions. So when at work, when my team see me putting in hard work, they too put in hard work. When they see me being a perfectionist and not settling for mediocrity, they too don't settle for mediocrity. When my children see me exercising, meditating, journaling, they eventually, at one point in their life, they will need self-development. And when that happens, then your life becomes an inspiration and an example of what they should do. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next question. Okay, the next question comes from Sarah, who writes, hi Sam, in a recent episode you mentioned that we sometimes do the wrong things and feel lost in life because we have a need for acceptance. I love doing the life reset that you mentioned, and I followed the five-step process, but I still feel like I care too much about what others think of me. So I end up doing the wrong things just to make others happy. How do I stop doing that without upsetting the people I'm trying to please? It's usually my friends. I don't have many friends, and the ones I do have are very dear to me. So the question is, how do I stop doing that without upsetting the people I'm trying to please? The short answer is you can't. In the short term, you might lose friends. So be it. You cannot lose yourself or what you want in life, the things that get you excited and lift your energy, the things that get you out of bed in the morning. You cannot stop doing those things just to make others happy. And here's the irony, right? In the short term, you may think that you're pleasing others and that's making them like you, and that's feeding your insecurity about being alone, but ultimately in the long term, it's going to work against you. Because when you continuously do the wrong things to make other people happy, things that don't light you up, you're going to start feeling lost in life, rudderless. And more sadly, you're going to become uninteresting and boring. And you're going to lose friends anyway. So if you are going to lose friends and even family members, right? Because often it's family members that we do things that we don't want to make happy. At least you lose them on your own terms by staying focused on your North Star, staying focused on what you want in the eight areas of life. You know, we are all born alone on this planet and we all die alone. I know that's a harsh reality, but at the end of the day, life is short. And my father reminded me of this, you know, on his deathbed. And he said, he looked at me and it was a few days before he died. And he said, and I was, because I was sitting next to him on my laptop doing work in between times when he was asleep. He was in palliative care. And at one point, you know, as I was typing, I felt eyes on me. And I turned to him as he was laying in bed and he looked at me. He said, son, don't work too hard. Life is too short. And that's my message to you. Life is too short to live somebody else's dreams. You need to find your own and you need to wake up every day and pursue your dreams with complete determination. And I promise you, anyway, you will find that you will then attract the right friends in your life and you will find that you will become an inspiration to your family. Okay, next question from Simran. I recently listened to your episode on how to use fear to motivate action. I really loved it, thank you. But I also read and regularly go back to your first book, A Higher Branch, and in particular, chapter 13, where you say, all action needs to be motivated by love. Is this a contradiction? How do I use fear to motivate action, but yet be motivated by love? Very good question. And I'm going to put a link, by the way, in the description to that particular episode that Simran mentions. But the answer is this. You need to use fear to imagine all the worst things that can go in the eight areas of your life if you continue feeling lost, stale, or stuck. If you continue living in the land of regret, if you continue living with past regrets, with past resentments, where you are holding on to grudges. Now, if you're living in that land of regret, if you are living with internal suffering, self-inflicted suffering, where the long after the pain of rejection or injury has left, you are holding on to that pain and turning it into internal suffering. How do you lift yourself out of that? Now, I find when you are living below that baseline, right? Below the baseline means where you're stuck and you just can't move forward. You can't see yourself moving forward. And you either live a nothing life, a small life, or even you might even slip into depression if you live in that state for too long. Having goals and dreams sometimes is not enough to lift you out of that, right? This is where you need to use fear. Fear is a very powerful motivator. So in that episode, I talk about how you can use fear to think of the worst things that can happen in your life if you don't take action, if you don't eat healthy, if you don't exercise, if you are not a considerate and thoughtful partner, if you don't work hard in your job, if you don't save your money when it comes to your wealth, if you don't stay in touch with your friends and continue socializing. I'm going through the eight areas of life here. And when you think of all the things that can go wrong, like bankruptcy, divorce, depression, diabetes, and in that state where you're visualizing all the things that can go wrong, and I do this a lot in my coaching when I find it difficult to motivate my client to take action. I take them through this process of visualizing the worst things that can go wrong to the point where they open their eyes in the meditation, they say, Sam, enough. I get it. And I promise you, they start taking action. So here's the thing though. How can you take then action with love? Okay, fear is used to motivate action. So it's used to start something, but how do you stay there, right? You can't stay on that path, the right path, by having fear as your lens. Once you start taking action out of fear, then you stay on that track by having a lens of love. So instead of working out because you fear diabetes, instead of eating healthy because you fear heart disease, you're exercising because you love your body. You're eating healthy because you love your body. You're meditating and journaling and living a healthy lifestyle because you want to be an inspiration to the people in your life that you love. You want to perform better at work because you love the customers that you serve, and then you do so from the heart. So I hope that answers your question. So fear helps you start, love helps you stay. Okay, let's move on to the next question. And this will be my last question. It's a quick question. Hi, Sam. When should I see a therapist or a counselor or a psychologist or a psychiatrist versus seeing a life coach or a mentor? I diligently follow my self-development, read a lot of books, but sometimes I don't know when to actually seek help. I mean, when you go into the bookstore or online, they call it the self-help section. Yes, and we should all be on a path of self-development and self-help in our own way, right? Big or small. But the short answer to this question is you should always go see a trained therapist when whatever you're going through, whether it's anxiety or unhappiness or depression, or you're down on yourself because you've lost a job or you've experienced a breakup, a divorce, whatever it is that has you not functioning properly. In other words, it stops you from functioning. It stops you from exercising. It stops you from being the best that you can be. It stops you from doing your best work. It plummets your energy. That's another telltale sign. Anything that plummets your energy and stops you from functioning in the eight areas of life, that is your cue to see a therapist. And let me tell you, seeing a trained therapist, and there are therapists who are experienced in different aspects of self-development. So there are therapists for couples therapy. So there are therapists when it comes to mindset or psychological issues like anxiety. There are therapists who specialize in depression. The main thing is to find the therapist that you most connect with. So if you're listening to this out there, and you find that sometimes you go through prolonged periods where you're just not functioning. And when I say prolonged periods, I think anything more than 3 days is not functioning. And you find that, you know, exercise, eating healthy, better sleep hygiene, and, you know, a better mindset is just not working for you, you need to seek help. Anyway, I hope that answers your question. And that's all I have time for you today. Thank you for listening. And as always, I want to leave you with the reminder that every morning is the dawn of a new day and your opportunity to hit the reset button and start a new life. On that note, I hope you have a great day. As always, live consciously, my friends.